Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let me lies. Feline, with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Show and a product of watching Rockets basketball the last couple times they played San Antonio is realizing the Rockets, at least the city of Houston, actually has a villain. And not one of those manufactured villains as far as in another city where, okay, they're really good, so you hate them because they're good, because they knock down jumpers. Like Steph Curry, you can put in that villain category, but it's only because he ruins your team's hopes, not because he's an actually bad person, at least from all reports. I don't know him. You're right, Sean. You put your hand up. I don't know.
What's publicly available?
Yes. From what we have been given as information, We don't see Steph Curry as a bad person. But he's a villain because he's great. That cannot be said about Jeremy Sochan.
Wait, which part? Which part can't be said? The last part?
He's a villain because he's great.
I think it's the because he's great part.
Yes, because he's great. You can't call...
He can be a villain.
He can be a villain, but you can't say he's a villain because, simply because he ruins your night or your series. He hasn't reached that level. The Spurs certainly haven't either. But he has gotten to a point over the last like 4 or 5 days where Rocket fans hate him. They may have always disliked him because he's a Spur. That just comes with the territory of playing for a team in state. But he said something going into their two-game set against the Rockets, interviewed by San Antonio media. And they were asked about, you're going to play these guys like 3 times within 12 days. And they asked about the young teams going against each other and a potential rivalry. Here's what Jeremy Sochan had to say.
3 games against Houston. Tonight's the first 3 in 12 days. Is that a good thing, or would you rather have it spaced out?
I don't decide the games, the schedule, so.
You guys form a rivalry when you're too young. It's always been a rivalry.
So while that audio isn't great, I'll explain what it was. He was asked about the rivalry between the two young teams. It's always an issue when you've got guys bouncing basketballs right behind a guy doing an interview. And when they asked him about the rivalry, and he simply goes, yeah, F Houston. They didn't prompt him. They didn't go, hey, you guys have had some tussles back and forth. He just simply said, yeah, F Houston. It's a rivalry. F them. And now it's a thing. Now Rocket fans know who he is. If they didn't know before, they do know now. And Fred VanVleet talked to him immediately after the game, which, by the way, the Rockets won. They split the 2-game set.
Stern talking to
Fred. I don't know if it was about what he said or he got into an altercation with Jabari Smith in the middle of the game where there was like some tussling and locking up of arms and stuff like that. We don't know what Fred VanVleet said. I don't even know if he was asked about it after the game. I didn't find any clips of him talking about it. He just talked about how they have to do better holding leads, and he talked about his big shot. He made a big shot down the stretch as the Spurs cut it to two. He and Jalen Green made big plays late as the Rockets nearly blew a big lead. The Spurs cut it to as little as two thanks to, what was it, a 6-point play at one point in that game where Chris Paul knocked down the three. There, I think Tari Eason clipped him on the foul. They ruled it a flagrant. And I didn't know this thing existed where, because the most you can get on a play like that is 4 points, and he had already knocked down the three, they gave Chris Paul 2 to make 1. I didn't know that was a thing you could do. But
yeah.
So he had 2 free throws to make 1. He made it on the first try, I believe, and then Wimby knocked down a fadeaway to make it a 6-point play.
It's 2 to make 1, and you keep the ball.
And you keep the ball, yes.
Which is very funny that they're like, well, you can't have 5 points on a possession, but you can have 6.
Yeah.
Because we'll just give you the ball.
Yeah. Or 7. Or 7. Or yeah, 7, they would have knocked down a 3. Yeah. Who knows how long this could go? What if there's another flagrant on a 3? How long could this go?
A snake eating its tail.
Yeah.
Sliding your foot under people taking jump shots.
Yeah, but on the play, yes, that's back to the Zaza Pachulia thing where he slid his foot under the former Spur, Kawhi Leonard, and it potentially changed the course of that Warriors series. The Spurs were up like 20 at the time, and then they lost game 1, and surprisingly enough, Kawhi didn't play in the rest of a playoff series. Who knew that was going to be a thing for the rest of his career? It feels like it started there with Zaza Pachulia, and then the Warriors, of course, went on to do what they do. So that happened last night. The 6-point play got the Spurs right back in the game, but the Rockets held him off, and at the end of the game, we had Fred VanVleet talking to Jeremy Sochan about maybe what he said, maybe about his actions during the game, because Sochan actually had a pretty good game. And when asked about it afterwards, about his conversations with Fred VanVleet, Sochan, you know, kind of played it off, but said, hey, it's part of the game.
Fred VanVleet, at the end of the game, he had his finger in your face and he was giving you a few words. What was he explaining to you after the game?
Nothing. I don't know. It's, you know, just being competitive. So, you know, it is what it is. And yeah.
You don't take that? Do you take it personal, or is it all part of the game?
Never that. They do, though.
The very end, he says, they do, though.
Media, I don't know. Laugh. Small town media.
Yeah, I don't know if I can be in a rivalry with the guy who sounds like he plays for a Premier League team. He's a Polish-American, but he grew up in England, so that's where that accent comes from. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if you sound like Bukayo Saka, I don't know if I can really get upset with you in a basketball sense.
And you also got Victor, too.
I know. You got the, like, French guy.
What are we, beefing with Real Madrid?
Yeah. Look, I know that the Spurs have a long history of international players, and it didn't make them any less annoying and less good when they were running things in the NBA. But Sochan and Wimby, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, the Wimby thing, there's because of his reaction when he found out the Rockets weren't going to be in a position to draft him. People don't like him for that. And look, he's French. Certainly knew a lot about American basketball. And could anyone blame him for not wanting to be drafted by a potential Rockets team that was just getting away from Steven Silas? I can't fault anyone who was like, you know what? Thank you. Not them. Now things have turned around.
Yeah.
So it's different now. But I ain't going to get after him for that. Once again, that's one of those you're trying to hate a guy just because. Like the Sochan thing, you can hate him because he said F Houston. He was talking about the basketball team, but that's the team who represents you. So you can take that and go, F you, Sochan. Now you're on the list.
It's also if Victor fist bumped and then went to, like...
Oh, he did definitely celebrate.
No, but if he fist bumped and went to, like, the Trailblazers or went to...
Yeah, you wouldn't care that much.
Yeah, the Pistons, like, it wouldn't be as big of a deal, but
he might even be laughing at him for winding up in Detroit or Portland.
Champagne. He was thrilled. Throwing a party to get drafted by a team that's won like 20 games for the last 5 years.
Yes, but if you are over the course of NBA history,
because they're good in 2005.
Yeah,
I forgot.
So he's gonna, and he knows Pop, and that's an established guy, respected guy. So Tony Parker told him about the Spurs and all that stuff. I'm sure the Spurs are held in high regard in Europe, considering what they did with European basketball players and what they won with those guys. So I get it why he didn't want to come here.
Nah, F him.
There it
is. They would have made the playoffs with him last year.
Well, that's true.
But he would have just
but
been
he
on
didn't
a
know that.
Team.
He didn't know that. He didn't know Ime Udoka.
Learn ball, Vic.
He didn't know Ime was going to flip everything.
Ime Udoka, former Spur. He should have known. He should have been familiar with this game.
Nah, he heard about the Nia Long thing. Was like, I'm out.
Do you think he knows who Nia Long is?
He probably does.
Now.
I don't know if he knew then. I'm sure someone informed him.
I'm always curious about these, like, 19-year-old, especially foreign kids.
How much they know. Like, we know they know basketball. That's the thing. That's, like, the entry
kind
point.
Of, yeah.
Okay. We got a hater, Sean.
No, I mean, you have every fourth guy goes, Paul George is my GOAT.
Brandon Miller's not European and he says that.
Yeah. Now imagine if he was from Slovakia.
I don't know. You know, Paul George had game. Still does when he's actually on the field. I mean, on the court. So you like who you like. What? Yeah. There's James
it's
Harden.
It's like if people my age were like, Tracy McGrady is the GOAT. Well, it's James, like, well, he was good, but there's also Kobe. Like,
well, it is what it is. People love James Harden. It's just how it is. Look, I am someone who knows James Harden's a great player, but I'm not putting him over the guy with that awful statue, which is how I'm going to refer to Dwayne Wade as from now on, the guy with the terrible statue.
That guy.
I mean, we can look at the numbers, but playoff performer, I'm taking Dwayne Wade. As far as over the course of their histories and the fact that, sure, the times are different as far as how the NBA is officiated and played, but come on now.
Yeah, it was different the 06 finals.
Dwayne Wade would have won the 11 finals if LeBron didn't fall flat on his face. He would have won that. He would have won that MVP. He was the best player in that series outside of Nowitzki.
I was on during 2006. I made a bet with one of my friends, like at summer camp, that the Heat were going to win. So I was rooting for the Heat that series. But it is funny to now weaponize their officiating against you.
Yeah,
20 years later,
I'm really broken up about it. Yeah. The title's going anywhere.
Well, that's Antoine Walker's title, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, Gary Payton can get a piece too. We can name all of those guys. Jason Williams on that team as well.
White chocolate.
Yeah, I do find it funny that the flip, because yesterday when we were talking about Shaq and him talking about tell me how my ass tastes, you said, oh, he was carried by Dwayne. Now
it's Antoine Walker.
Yeah.
Well, Shaq was third in the finals for the Heat in scoring. So yeah. It's like he was bus rider.
Yeah.
To Antoine Walker.
Well, what you said was he was carried by Wade and Joey Crawford is what you said.
Oh, yeah. No, that's Joey Crawford's title. Thank you for reminding me. Ed Malloy, too.
No, for
Ken Maurer.
Well, I don't know if Ed Malloy was there, but Ken Maurer probably did a game or
Dick
something.
Dick Pavetta.
I'm sure. Who else?
David Stern.
I'm sure. He was in on it, too. Kenyon Green on O-Mobile's called in, so we can get to that. Kenyon Green, who had his issues Sunday. Yesterday was Monday. He had his issues Sunday in the game, but he returned and played. And because Jarrett Patterson still is under concussion protocol. It's unlikely he'll be available for their Thursday game against the Jets. So it's good to hear from the Texans starting guard. We will hear from Kenyon Green, and I guess it's on pass blocking. Yeah, Kenyon, I don't know if you're going to give us any tips because you are pretty bad at it. At least you were the last couple weeks. So we'll hear from him. Anyone else want to get in? 713-780-3776. And we'll have some of the pressure numbers that CJ had to deal with. I don't think we got to that yesterday. I didn't mention it, but we didn't get to that. So Kenyon Green probably very responsible for what CJ had to deal with on Sunday. So we'll talk about that. We have our misery index as well. Some teams that are probably off the radar as far as what we normally talk about in college football, they made the list because the results of their games made them really, really miserable. So we'll get to the Kenyon Green and anyone else when we come back.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
CJ Stroud was pressured on a career high 57.5% of his dropbacks against the Colts in Week 8. And one of the primary reasons for that is calling in. Kenyon Green on a mobile is calling in. And the subject matter is pass blocking. Well, you got a lot to answer for. You got a lot to answer for, Kenyon Green. What do you say to being obviously the worst offensive lineman on the Texans roster?
Hey, guys, first of all, I'm not the worst offensive lineman, okay? But you can stop it with that. I am an elite run blocker. And the reason why I'm an elite run blocker is because I can stop the defenders from putting their hands above their face and playing peekaboo, okay? So as soon as the ball is hiked, I can get into their chest and I can hold their arms down so they can't disappear.
Well, that's
all right? Now, this whole peekaboo stuff that they're doing should be outlawed. It's not fair, okay? When you put your hands above your face and your whole body disappears, and then you run a stunt, that should be outlawed just like the, the drop hip tackle, and they hurt my boy, Joe Mixon. Mm-hmm. Joe Mixon knows how hard I am, you know, when it comes to run blocking. That's crazy. Why he wants to run behind me.
Crazy.
But, can
I ask you a question? Kenyon Green on a mobile, let me ask you a question. Are you like a pet, like if someone throws like a blanket up and then runs out of the room, you would be tricked by that? Since you get tricked by peekaboo as well?
Yeah. I mean, if I throw a blanket in the air, then obviously my sight's going to go to the blanket. And then if they run past me like all these elite pass rushers are doing, I mean, these guys are geniuses. I mean, some of them, they have to go to Harvard. I mean, come on. To play peekaboo with me, like that's just a whole other level of like thought process. Mm. And then they run a stunt. So peekaboo on top of stunts, like these are genius level, like superior athletes. And like I'm up here trying to like overthink stuff, and I'm trying to like eat, trying to change my diet. They keep getting mad at me because I'm eating fried chicken, and it's delicious, delicious Twinkie cream. And I'm trying to wash it down, and then they want me to drink like water and eat steak and eat broccoli. I mean, ew, like listen, CJ Stroud is very important, but we should run the ball 57 times. Because they can't play pickaboo, and they will at least rush the ball for 150 yards. And we should be at least be able to score 17 points. I mean, CJ, man up, man. I mean, they're playing pickaboo. What you want me to do?
So you called in about Twinkie cream yesterday on the China Lance show, and you are in better shape. D'Amico Ryan's talked about how much better shape you are in, and you're attributing that to chicken and Twinkie cream?
Yes, because at first I was drinking like a whole bunch of syrup, like pancake syrup and honey. Like I used to mix it together, okay. And I'll put ice in it and I'll stir it up. But then like they said, that's not healthy. Mm. So I was just like, well, how about I don't eat the Twinkie, I just drink the cream. Because, you know, it's less calories.
Less bread.
It goes on cake. So, yeah. So, and then I can basically just drink the cream and I can eat chicken.
So do you
dip? Fry a chicken, though. Don't tell them that.
Do you dip the chicken in the Twinkie cream, or do you use the cream as like a to wash the chicken down?
No, I drink the cream. Obviously, you can't dip chicken in the cream. It's gonna change the taste and the texture. Yeah, you gotta drink it. Come on, man.
I apologize.
Put some more milk in it and you water it down a little bit.
Okay, I was trying to figure
out. It's kind of like an ice cream, but it's not really ice cream.
I was trying to figure out how you were drinking Twinkie cream, but now you've explained it to me. Thank you, Kenyon Green on the mobile. Once again, peekaboo is the reason why he can't pass protect, which I wouldn't admit to people. But they're playing peekaboo. That's cheating, I believe.
Different voice than I imagined.
Yeah, I heard he called in yesterday to the John and Lance show. So chicken and Twinkie cream are part of the bit going forward. Fried chicken, which can be problematic depending on how you see things.
Tread carefully,
Kenyon Green on the mobile. Maybe go with grilled to save yourself some issues.
Or just a different food.
Yeah, or maybe just pick...
any other unhealthy food.
Yeah, pick lasagna. I don't know. Something. But hey, there it is. That's what he eats. And he drinks Twinkie cream of all things. And that's why he can't pass
block. Doesn't dip it, though.
No, because that would be...
That is some peekaboo stuff, though. Dip it.
What? I thought he was using it as a dip.
No.
You don't... I didn't think he would drink Twinkie cream.
No, that's only for elite level eaters.
You're what, dipping it into the...
Yeah,
dip?
that's advanced moves, like stunts. And that's the stunts of eating.
And he has
dipping fried chicken and Twinkie cream.
And he has lost weight, so maybe... And
credit
that's
to him.
Mostly because he's not eating the bread that comes with the Twinkie, apparently.
How do you extract the cream?
Is it with a straw?
Call in tomorrow.
Yeah, explain yourself. Or not. I don't know how much more of this thing.
I don't know
want.
How many legs.
I don't know how deep he's gone into it, because he was not bad answering questions that he didn't expect were coming. Yeah. But I don't know how much further this thing goes. Maybe workshop it for a couple of days and then come back, because we're going to have more questions. All right, let's get to Julian. Julian's at a point where Sean doesn't even put up what he wants to talk about. What's up, Julian?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
I think we know what I want to talk about. I couldn't call yesterday. I was busy. But we all know what happened with the game. But afterwards, did you see Trayvon Diggs tap into his Jera, his inner Jera? So... The kid goes into the locker room, gets on his phone, see that somebody posted some things that were unsavory about his game, goes back out of the locker room to confront the guy, emotional as hell, sassy as can be, and then he goes on to Micah Parsons' podcast, and he's talking about how he's setting the edge, and he's tackling, and he's doing the best he can for his team, and for someone to put that on my name. Like, dude, these new athletes are so soft. Soft. Y'all have a good day.
That is a triumphant 49er fan after his team once again beat the Cowboys. I know, surprising that they would beat this version of the Cowboys. If you missed it, Julian talked about it after the game. There was a tweet about a play where you could question Trevon Diggs' effort. He wasn't the man in coverage, but as George Kittle was breaking loose, you could assume that he wasn't giving full effort in trying to track him down. Now, eventually, I think he wound up pushing him out of bounds. So here is Diggs confronting the reporter about a tweet questioning his effort.
Took from that? How that whole play, that's what you took from that? You don't know football. You can't do none that I do. You can't go out there and do nothing. Stay in your lane, buddy. Stop playing me, bro.
Just asking a question, Trayvon. I mean, I'm happy to have you answer the question.
How that whole play, that's what you took from that? That's what you got from that whole play, that's what you got from that?
I'm asking. We can talk about it more. What were you doing then?
At the very end, if you didn't catch that, talk about these. You know what the rest of that is. We talked about it yesterday. It was a rough, let's say, 10 to 12 hours for the Diggs family. We don't know where Stephon Diggs stands as far as his knee injury.
Or yeah. How he stands.
I'll see. Well, that's, I guess, we can say that too.
You can't throw it stands in there. You don't know where he stands.
I mean, you could have avoided doing it.
No, I could.
Yeah, well, apparently, clearly you couldn't. So we don't know the status, the structural integrity.
If he stands.
Of Trevon Diggs' knee. We don't know that yet. And until we do, we can't really make any real projections on what this Texans season could be if they're going to lose one of their top two wide receivers. So Tank and Nico should be enough. Nico won't play on Thursday. That'll be the final game of his IR stint. But it could be a Tank Dell experience solo. And then you could throw in Mechie and Robert Woods Hutchinson there. So we'll find out maybe today. They're still doing tests. I don't know if I'm encouraged because normally when a guy tears his ACL, we know that pretty quickly. It's not something, even Rashee Rice, yeah, where that took a couple of days before they confirmed that he'd be out for the year. The sources were already saying ACL injury,
yeah,
could be in the cards. We don't know what it is right now for Stephon Diggs.
Or you get the team fears it's an ACL.
Like, yeah, that.
You'll get that with the Mike Florio report before Sunday Night Football. Like, you get this very fast, yes, normally. So it's either a good thing because it's like it's not ACL, or it's a bad thing because
it's worse.
There's just so much going on that they need what for coming up on almost 48 hours to sift through this guy's knee to see what's torn and what isn't.
Yeah, the only thing I would think is because they have a Thursday game, they're trying to hold any competitive advantage that they can. But he walked off.
But he went straight to the
locker. But anyone who watched it doesn't expect him to play. That's the only thing I can think of if they're actually holding something back, that they're just, hey, let's keep the Jets thinking that he may play. But at this point, with a short week, no matter what it is, no one expects him out on that field on Thursday night.
Yeah, he's probably going to get – do you think they'll mark him as questionable this whole week?
Well, they have –
or at least today.
Well, yeah, because of the accelerated practice thing, I think this is another day where they won't actually step on the field. It'll just be an estimation of what would happen if they were actually in a normal week. So we likely will see a practice injury report, and it'll probably say estimation at the bottom and then DNP for Stephon Diggs in our practice. But we won't get any real injury designation until like Wednesday, if they're still – until we get a sources or reporting deal.
Yeah.
So we'll see, but – no one expects him to play on Thursday. It'll be Tank Dell against that Jets secondary with the guys I mentioned before. Willie P, I see you. Because you have a gang of stuff to get to.
That's a quote from him.
I know. So we'll get to you on the other side because we're up against it. Hold on if you want to get that gang of stuff in. But first, I want to talk about my bookie. We mentioned the Texans. They have a game on Thursday. That is an important day for my bookie because that is risk-free Thursday. What's that mean? Means exactly what it sounds like. You can bet And if you lose, you get your money back. Refund. And if you win, you keep it. Risk-free Thursday. So keep that in mind if you're thinking about putting some money down on the Thursday Night Football action. It's not just Thursday Night Football that MyBookie provides odds on, whether it be college football, which is Tuesday nights now, if you want to put some money down there. We got the World Series going on. We're one game, one victory away, at least from a Dodgers sweep. The NBA is in action. We had the Rockets last night get a win in San Antonio. Maybe you like something going on tonight. You can look into that at MyBookie. I give you all these options because of their tagline. Bet on anything, anywhere, anytime. Remember that promo code, BET975. They match up to $1,000. So why not double your money? You may not be an expert. You may just be starting. You want to put 100 in? That's 200 bucks ready to go for you at MyBookie. From the sports betting to the live casino action, MyBookie has it all for you. And they're there to help you have a great time wagering. MyBookie.ag is the website. Bet on anything, anywhere, anytime with MyBookie.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Sean hit me with some breaking news. And it's for a former Rocket. And I could tell by Sean's tone during the break that it wasn't really big news, but a former Rocket's retiring. And you say, who could that be? Rudy Gay. Remember, he was drafted by the Rockets until Jeff Van Gundy was like, I'd rather have Shane Battier.
He put on the hat. Good trade, by the way.
Yes, it worked out for the Rockets. Rudy Gay has been a good player. And
yeah, he wasn't bad, but the Rockets were in the playoffs the next year.
Yes, and Shane Battier was a big part of that. So a former Rocket for a couple hours, if that, is now retiring from basketball.
It might have been less than a couple
hours. Yeah, I don't even know how long that trade took to officially be announced.
And that was back when we had to watch the draft, and they would tell us who has been traded and who hasn't been.
As opposed to tweets, yes.
Yeah, because Rudy Gay, again, got drafted 18 years ago. It was like 17 picks later, they're like, oh, by the way, you know Rudy Gay, who got drafted by the Rockets, actually going to Memphis.
And he played at a premier program, yeah. So a lot of people would have been excited.
Elite Eight?
He played for UConn, so I'm not sure how, like I said, it's a long time ago. I'm not sure how long it took for that news to break that he was going to be a Grizzly. Maybe we knew beforehand that the Rockets were taking him for the Grizzlies. I don't remember. It was in 2006, but I know a lot of things that are stupid that don't mean anything. That's one thing I don't remember. But he was traded for Stromile Swift and Shane Battier.
Fleece.
You remember Stromile? Fleece. And the Rockets won that trade.
Rockets could use a Stromile Swift on this team. Actually, probably not.
Probably not, actually. They could use a Shane Battier on this team.
They got one.
That version.
Dylan the Villain.
Okay. Sure.
He's Dark Battier.
Okay.
He's Battier who didn't go to Duke.
Said he went to Oregon.
Yeah, that doesn't help.
No, it's not like he went to a school you think of as creates trouble. Yeah. No, he went to Oregon.
He didn't go to the U or something.
Or Georgia. The U in basketball? No.
Yeah, James Larrinaga has dogs on his team.
I know, but no one knows them as a team full
like,
of
Isaiah Wong,
of villains.
Right?
Yeah. You remember what he did to your team?
Yeah.
Bunch of dogs.
That other guy that
Jordan Miller,
man,
who went perfect against you guys. Didn't he go perfect against Texas?
Yes, he did.
Yes.
No, there's a big man.
Norchir Armet. Yeah. No, who was like 6'5". Big man. Getting punked by a 6'5 big man. Shout out to Texas.
And that's college basketball, baby.
I know. Of a 6'5 big man could have his way on the front line because Texas' tallest guy was like 6'7", 6'8 at the time from what I remember in that game. Reliving
Dylan Mitchell.
Reliving a potential Final Four for Texas and an actual Final Four for Miami. Still, to this day, through UConn's two runs, Miami got beat by like 13 in that semifinal. Still the closest game UConn has played in the tournament. And through two tournaments.
Hang a banner. Actually, you did hang
a banner. Yeah, it's a Final Four banner. We actually did hang a banner.
There should be a parenthetical. Closest
Gave
game.
Gave UConn their closest game. Yeah. Let's get to Willie P. He said he had a gang of stuff to get to. What's up, Willie P?
Hey, good morning, Dale. How you doing, man?
Good morning, man. How are you?
Not bad, not bad. You know, long time. You know, I've been listening to the show for a while. It's been a minute since I called in, but I listen to the show every day. So, first things first, do you remember Pulisic's goal, the Olympico?
How about we first things first with you, now that your coach is, your manager's fired? How about that? Remember, you called in after you scored that late winner against Fulham. Talk about, hey, look, that's why you pay that forward that money. And now look at you without a manager.
All right. You know what? You're right. You're absolutely correct. Ten Hag is out of there. He should have been out of there at the end of the season. But, you know, I digress. It's funny because they put Van Nistelrooy in charge, and he's a protege of Ten Hag. So I'm like, what do you think is going to happen when we play Chelsea on Sunday? Like, they're going to dog us. It's going to be embarrassing. So nothing's going to change until they get a real manager. But I did see that Sporting Lisbon, their manager, Ruben Amorim or something like that, they reached out to him, and they want to make him the manager before the game on Sunday.
Yeah, that's a report that he could be the manager in time. I don't know if he would actually manage that game, but at least maybe officially announced by Sunday, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, so, you know, hopefully his first game is not us getting shellacked by Cole Palmer and his dead-eyed ass, but, Man United, we've been terrible. I got nothing to say. I saw Fulham and Jimenez, and I'm like, for real? Like, that dude's out here scoring goals, and we pay you guys all this money. Y'all can't score a goal, but let's be real. We paid all the money for Zerky, and he can't even get on the field. But that's neither here nor there. Shout out Marcel Reed. He should forever stay as a quarterback.
Agreed.
I think Connor Wegman should go ahead and get that FSU or that Iowa or Penn State money, because, you know, one of them three schools are going to pick him up. He's trash, but good luck to that man. Pulisic and the Olympic, go back to that.
I did
He's amazing.
That.
Greatest American player ever. Wait, what'd you say?
I did see that, and Clint Dempsey has a say about that, but sure. He's on pace.
Man, you know what?
He's
Clint Dempsey's just a hater stand up.
No, I mean Clint Dempsey's. I mean Clint Dempsey's the best American player. Now Pulisic is rising. Yes, Clint Dempsey was great in Europe. He scored big World Cup goals. Give me Clint Dempsey. But Pulisic,
yeah, you know what? You know what? I agree. You know, you're right. I take that back. You know what he did at Fulham when he had them in the Europa League. What he did with the World Cup. You know what? You're absolutely correct. You know, Pulisic still has a long way to go. So I do think at the end of his career, he will be the best.
I agree.
Best American player. But yeah, no, you're right. Clint Dempsey is the best. So, you know, shout out to you, Dale. When you do the misery index, I know you do it for college football. We might as well throw Anthony Richardson on there. I don't know how that dude comes back from that nonsense tapping his helmet. Shout out Utah Twitter fans crashing out Saturday night after they lost to UH. Oh, man, that made my night. And last thing, I saw the movie Canary Black. It was okay. Kate Beckinsale, she's fine and whatnot. But one thing I couldn't get over is the fact that she was wearing those boots with, like, the 4-inch heel the entire movie. And she's jumping out of windows and running around and fighting. It was insane. And I don't know, just kind of unbelievable. But anyway, you guys have a great day. Great show. Love it. And Sean A. Mace, what do you do, baby? Peace.
Appreciate it, Willie P. He had to get some stuff off, and he did. Yeah, the Cougs beat Utah. We have tickets to give away for the Cougs versus K-State. We'll do that a little bit later. The best thing that ever happened to Anthony Richardson is Tyreek Stevenson, because the Anthony Richardson thing will something that follows him, and the Colts will have to deal with it. But the Tyreek Stevenson thing is going into a second day on ESPN. I have not seen the Anthony Richardson thing since yesterday. He better send Tyreek Stevenson like a thank you gift. I don't know what it will be.
A gift basket?
Yeah, something to go appreciate you. I thank you, because I haven't seen Richardson. He spoke on Sunday and explained, and that pissed people off. We've had Tyreek Stevenson apologize, talk about what went on and why he did what he did. We've had Bears players talk about how they felt unprepared for not only that moment, but like Cole Kmet, who isn't even a defensive player, was talking about how through the week things weren't being taken as seriously as they should. This is all coming from just bat the ball down and no one's having these discussions. You're 6-2 and no one's thinking about what might have slipped through the week, but because of what happened, because one player decided to taunt Commanders fans and then bat a ball up in the air instead of slapping it down, this is what they're dealing with. I'm telling you, the best thing that ever happened to Anthony Richardson is Tyreek Stevenson. It was good for him.
Yeah. Man, that is so funny. That's life in the league. Is even if he taunts Commanders fans and just like actually
makes the play,
it's actually probably the opposite where people are like, look at Tyreek Stevenson. Yeah, standing on business.
The football world, the serious or even non serious people who are on TV are going to question because the viral clip would have probably still gotten out, not to the same effect because all we would have been talking about was a failed Hail Mary, but someone probably would have put that out there, would have gone viral, and then they would have talked about it, but not to the point where the man has to double apologize.
I don't think, you know what? I'm not sure if two apologies is enough. George wanted him cut yesterday. Then I was like, is he good? Like, I mean, obviously he was out there to defend a Hail Mary.
Their second round pick from last year, I think.
He said it's basically like the Texans' Kamari Lassiter, or he's the Bears' Kamari Lassiter.
So you're getting rid of your young, promising corner.
Yeah.
He cost you a game.
At a certain point, though, at least on Monday, when he's like, but you just have to cut him, just to send a message. I was like, you know, I can't fully say you're wrong, but like this guy, obviously, pretty clownish behavior. Sure. I'm not going to sit here and be like, no, you have to bring him back. Yeah. But on the other hand,
you're simply cut.
Probably need him.
You're cutting him because you want your pound of flesh.
Good. Yeah,
it'll make you feel good. But if you go three more weeks into the year and the backup is getting roasted, does it make you feel better? It's because you had a reactionary moment, and you know, despite the dumb thing he did, he's a good enough player. Well, someone immediately will pick him up.
Yeah.
And what if the Vikings are like, you know what, we need a corner, or the Lions are like, we like Terry and Arnold.
The Lions need him.
And what's his name? Carlson Davis.
Yeah,
we'd like a third really good corner. How about that? You wouldn't like it if he wound up on an NFC North team. You just keep him. You take it. It sucks.
Hope he triple apologizes.
Yeah, get
apology
another one
every day.
Or you know what? Have a game winning pick six.
Oh, that's it.
Make a game winning play. If a team is driving, you're about to lose. Make the inverse of what you just did.
Yeah.
And make a play that wins the game.
Save the game.
So if it wasn't for Tyreek Stevenson, we would have lost this game. But with Tyreek Stevenson, if it wasn't for Tyreek Stevenson on Sunday, we would have won the game.
Yeah.
You have to have a moment where if it wasn't for Tyreek Stevenson, we would have lost the game.
You're back to neutral.
You balance it out. That's what he needs.
Also, you saying he needs a game-winning pick six to balance it out makes me remember that Jake Meyers only has one game to win World Series MVP.
Well, he's not playing for the Dodgers.
But there might be a clerical error or something, but this might be the last day where it's possible for
him
to. It's
a pretty giant clerical error that he winds up on a different team in a Dodgers uniform tonight.
I thought I wrote Freddie Freeman, but nope.
Dave Roberts writes in Jake Meyers and Freddie Freeman hits another home run, but it's attributed to Jake Meyers. In fact, he's been doing it all series long. He's been writing in Jake Meyers.
Or Freddie Freeman, you know, in the post game, they give him the truck, they give him the trophy, and then he reaches for his neck and he pulls off his mask, and it's Jake Meyers.
Or they just write on the title, it says Jake Meyers on it instead of Freddie Freeman. So you never specified that he had to win a World Series MVP for the Astros. You just said a World Series MVP.
I think so.
So in this warp line of thinking, I guess it could work out for you. Or Jake Meyers in this case. Seems unlikely.
Seems very unlikely.
Very unlikely.
Also, I didn't know there would be the Dodgers winning the World Series.
Yeah. Now, it's the best thing that could possibly happen. This show has decided we can't bear to root for the Yankees. We're not fans of the Dodgers, but if this ends in four, the series is over, the parade happens sooner that we won't watch, and the Yankee fans are miserable and embarrassed.
Yeah.
So that's the best scenario, considering we were stuck with two awful options.
Yankees sweep is the best.
A Yankee sweep? Oh, Yankees getting swept.
Yes. Okay. Yankees getting swept is the best option because it is so embarrassing. And I saw this. I wish I had it up. But they've lost like their last 10 playoff games. Playoff games against non-AL Central teams. They got swept by the Astros. They are getting swept. They're in the process of getting swept right now. Like, they lost a wild card game, and then they lost, I want to say, like, a couple games to the Rays in, like, 2020. But the fact this goes back to, like, 2020, where they only beat the AL Central, and then they immediately lose every game against, dare I say, real baseball.
Look at that.
Non-AL Central, real baseball.
Fake-ass Yankees. Yeah. Paper pennant that they won. Good. I'm glad they can have some infamy as they
spent $400 million to beat the Tigers AL Central and the Twins.
And the Guardians. Yeah. Congratulations. Those are the teams you're capable of beating when it matters most. One game away, Freddie Freeman well on his way to winning the World Series MVP.
Unless
that Jake Meyer scenario happens. In a series where neither team is hitting that well, but the Dodgers have almost – actually – more than double the extra base hits, and that's been the difference. Not that I'm watching pitch for pitch, because really, what's there the breakdown in a baseball series?
Yeah.
Particularly when you don't care about.
We talk about how busy of a time October is for sports fans. It's pretty easy to make the World Series cut. It's very easy. To buy that time to be like, well, especially when they play on Saturday night, and it's like, well, I'd rather just kind of watch all these college football games than Dodgers Yankees. Although I did try to tune in, actually. I tried to be entertained by the World Series because I saw a tweet that was the ninth inning with the bases loaded for the Yankees. So the Yankees could have come back and won game two. And they had the Dodgers had their closer, Trinan, on the mound. And he gets two outs, and the number eight hitter is up for the Yankees. And then the Dodgers go to the pen to bring on a lefty for the matchup. And I'm like, I cannot do this. I cannot stay through a commercial break for the eighth hitter Yankees catcher who doesn't have a platoon advantage against the I was disgusted by what's become of baseball, where you have your closer on the mound to win a World Series game, and the eighth hitter for the Yankees comes up, and you're like, gotta put in the lefty. Just what happened to the game?
What happened to the game I kind of loved.
I liked when I was a kid.
Yeah, what happened to it?
Not my baseball.
What happened to the Billy Wagners, the Trevor Hoffmans, the Troy Percivals, those guys?
Josh Haders.
He's a little younger. The guys who just...
Ryan Preston.
Well, you've seen what happened to those guys this year. but the guys who go in there, three outs.
Boom.
I don't care who's out there. This is my inning. We'll see how it goes.
The city sinks or swims with me.
Yeah, but no, the eighth hitter... Let's bring in a lefty.
Again, like a catcher I've never heard of.
Who's not even good?
Just like,
what are we talking about? It's not Buster Posey. prime Buster Posey. It's just some random catcher. What embarrassing.
It's disgusting. And then, oh my God. Why don't people like baseball? That's why. that's why.
Yes. It's the version of Anthony Richardson tapping his helmet. You pull the closer out for an eight-hole hitter.
It wouldn't be... I mean, it would still be disgusting, but it wouldn't be as bad if they don't go to commercial during that. Now I'm in here thinking, am I really going to, on my phone, stay through a commercial break? Or am I just going to flip back to Marcel Reed running for 15 yards against the LSU defense? Like, that's just what I'm going
to
do.
Feels
Sorry.
Like an easy choice to make. Much funnier to watch the Bayou Bengals look miserable because they didn't plan for the Reed option.
Yeah.
Which leads us into our second hour.
Speaking of miserable.
Yeah, we'll get to the misery index when we come back to lead off hour two of the show. It was a rough one for about a quarter and a half for the LSU Tigers. Unfortunately, it was the most important quarter and a half of their year so far. Tough one. Maybe plan for a running quarterback. Just assume that he might get in the game. They didn't, and they paid for it, so we'll get to that. We might have to go back to a full week to add one of these teams to the list. That's how long ago this game happened. A week ago today. So we'll discuss a undefeated group of five team who's no longer that because of a loss to a team that no one thought could beat them. A lot to get to with the misery index. Anyone want to get in you heard a lot of people calling. You can get in too, 713-780-3776. And, of course, we do have those tickets to the Cougs versus Kansas State. We'll give those away in the second hour as well. We will be back.
This is ESPN 97.5.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.